Stand by for action.
Good afternoon and welcome. It is Bob and Jeff on KFH. It's a Wednesday. It's not a Tuesday. It's a Wednesday. We're in the middle of the week. Bob has taken a midweek break. He stepped aside for the day to allow our good friend Jason Duda back into the fold. He's got his gray on. He's got a gray attitude. He's just kind of just gray. What's up?
He stepped out. No, he just wanted a day off. That's why I'm
Sometimes
here.
Sometimes people or he's just
got,
want days
he's
off.
He's got something going on. I know what's going on.
What's going on?
I don't know what's going on, but I know he didn't just step away.
You think
he
he's
just
got
wanted
something?
A day off, and so he's making it out, if that's what he said to you. He's making it out like, well, oh, no, I'll let Duda do this. No, Duda's fine. Whether he does or doesn't do the show,
quit
I'm good.
Being like that.
So just, I don't want to hear it.
Just show.
I don't want to hear it.
Just show up and one time say I'm happy to be here. I'm looking forward to doing the show. I'm glad I have this opportunity.
Okay.
Pretend like you care about something.
I love it.
Thank you.
It's awesome.
It makes everybody feel a lot better.
I can't wait to get the show going.
If they're
going to
invest an hour and 53 minutes in this show,
you're twisting everything.
They want the host to be engaged.
You are twisting everything because that isn't it.
What is it?
He wanted a day off for whatever reason, and that's why I'm here.
Well, you took a day off.
Let's just be honest.
You took a day off yesterday. We could have played catch.
Oh, man. Maybe. Were you down there for sure?
No, he changed the venue, but at one point it was going to be Tuesday at the facility, and you turned us down.
I couldn't make it. I had stuff to do yesterday.
You did.
I apologize.
But I hear you're becoming more available by the week.
Yes.
That's amazing. We're going to be together tomorrow.
What?
What about Friday?
What about Friday?
I don't know why we wouldn't be doing a three-man booth on Friday.
I talked to your dad, man.
Because that's your game day. Everybody loves our Friday shows.
Well, everybody loves Password.
Or something.
I mean, everybody loves Password.
Or something.
It is unbelievable.
I'm going to run down the show today because you are going to play
what?
Mediator.
Oh,
you're gonna play
I'm good at that. Yeah, that's right
on this
up my
show today.
I love it.
You usually play mediator between Bob and me.
Right.
Today you're going to be playing mediator between myself and a different person.
Oh, what person?
Not Bob. Pretty much my entire family.
Oh.
We'll get to that.
Oh, I can't wait for this.
We'll get to that in a second. I do want to run down the show today because it's a good one. At 2:25, we'll be joined by acclaimed best-selling author Joe Posnanski. Do you know that name?
No, I don't.
He worked for the Kansas City Star for a long time. He wrote for Sports Illustrated. He's written for other publications, The Athletic. Now he's on his own venture, Joe Blogs, which I subscribe to. It's fantastic.
Okay.
He has written a book called Why We Love Football, History in 100 Moments. And tomorrow night, Joe Posnanski will be here in Wichita.
Really?
At Watermark Books.
Uh-oh.
I don't know what he's going to do.
He's probably going to talk.
He's going to talk?
Well, that'd be my guess. I mean, I'm not that smart when it comes to books because I've unfortunately never read one, but I'm guessing he's here to talk about a book.
I'll help you out with questions.
Oh, that's good because I'll need it.
Yeah, we got a lot. There's a lot of stuff we can ask Joe. Joe's been around. He's authored several books, many that I've read.
Really?
And many that are very good.
So you'd consider yourself a fan?
I am a fan. If you can be a fan of a sports writer,
yeah,
then yeah, I'm a fan of Joe Posnanski.
That's very good.
And he is a fan of this show, apparently.
Really?
I guess.
That's even better.
This is going to be like the second time he's been on it.
He's been on it before.
He has.
Man. Can't wait.
When he was promoting Why We Love Baseball.
Why do you love baseball, Jeff?
There's a lot of reasons. Can't get into it right now.
Okay, yeah, we don't have time, probably.
No, we don't have time.
Because that would take a while.
It would. There's a lot of... And the Guardians made a trade today, and it's exciting.
Yeah. Well,
it's the least exciting trade anyone's ever made, but it's exciting to me.
I wasn't being sarcastic. I knew it would take a while.
How about that? At 3 o'clock, we're going to be joined by Mike Furchess to talk some pop culture. We like him in the top of the hour slot. That 2:45 where we're just kind of shuffling him through, you know, so we can get to 3 o'clock.
Yeah,
that's
we don't like
disrespectful
it.
Of his time and expertise and his pop culture prowess.
You are absolutely
correct.
So we
want him at 3 to talk pop culture. I don't know what we're going to do for the other 20 minutes of that segment, but we'll figure something out.
Oh, and then there's the shot. What a surprise.
No, I'm just saying.
You just had to give a little shot.
No, I meant... us, we're not the two biggest pop culture aficionados out there. Although we are both watching Matlock.
And is Is High Potential done?
High Potential.
Was that the season finale last Tuesday? Because wasn't on last night.
That was the mid-season finale. It's coming back in January.
Oh, so they're done till January?
Yeah, isn't that crap?
That's brutal.
It's garbage. Man, we're going to talk about Matlock. Because I like it and I hate it. Does that make sense?
How do you hate it?
I don't like the second storyline.
I love the second storyline. I love it. When they go to that. It's a short little clip. It's not that heavy. I love it.
It's always heavy.
Well, it's heavy, but it's not the main show. It's the background show.
And I don't like
which
her.
Is leading to the big ending.
Yeah, but I like the other characters more than I like her. And the other character, and I especially like the other characters more than I like the husband and the grandson. Oh my God, those two are insufferable.
You don't like those two?
No, I don't. And when she's around them, they bring her down. Who can bring down Kathy Bates?
They don't bring her down.
One of the great actresses of all time.
Nobody brings Kathy down.
The other actors, the attorneys, they bring her up. And she brings them up to her level.
They bring Kathy Bates up to their level? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, she brings them up to her level.
Okay,
They all make each other better.
Okay, I can agree with that.
Right?
Yep.
And at 325, if we can find it in the system, Gunther, the WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
Oh, did you do that?
Yeah. Bothered me like 7 months ago, but we're running it today.
How was it? Was it exciting?
It was good stuff. Well, he's the World Heavyweight Champion of the world.
If it was so good, how come you haven't played it yet then?
Well, we were going to play it on the day we did it, which was last Thursday.
Right.
So it hasn't been that long. It might have been Wednesday, but I think it was Thursday.
Okay.
Then we interviewed John Feinstein, another best-selling, acclaimed sports writer, author, and that went a little long, so we didn't have time. We were going to run Gunther at 3:40. Didn't work out.
Well, that's too bad, but maybe we got him today.
Well, we might.
That's great.
If we can find it.
Gunther.
Out of the country.
Unknown.
Austria.
Oh, a lot of those guys used to be from parts unknown.
We don't do parts unknown very
much.
That's
too bad. I like parts unknown.
We're in a more reality-based product, which is just fine. You change with the times, right?
Did you say reality?
Yeah.
Okay.
Reality-based.
Fair enough.
Storylines that could be translated to real life. Real
gotcha.
Conflicts. Personal things. You
for
know
sure.
You get it?
I'm following you.
Good guys, bad guys.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so you're going to mediate.
Okay, what is going on here? I'm interested, though.
Here's the situation. Okay?
What's the situation? What happened?
We live out in the country.
Yes, I do.
You know, we get some critters crawling by every now and then.
Yes.
All sorts of critters, deer, possums. We get raccoons out there. Obviously, we get your normal rabbits, things like that.
Yeah.
The other day, my daughter was visiting from Kansas State, and she's going somewhere. So obviously she goes outside, she's getting in her car, she sees a cat in our tree, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the decision was made until we could possibly find the owner or figure out if it's a stray and then maybe get it shots or, you know, begin to take care of it in some way.
Right.
Right? We put it in our shed, which is out kind of, it's just in the yard. So we had him in our shed for a few days.
Okay.
Last night, we brought him into the home, into a little secluded part of the home, our washroom. He's got some space.
Yeah.
He's warm. He's freaking the heck out. But, you know, this is what cats do. And the situation that you need to mediate is my daughter believes, because she found the cat,
uh-huh.
that she now gets to keep it, take it to college, or take it to whenever she has an apartment or whatever. I contend, no, that cat lived at my house.
Ooh.
You don't just get to take it and leave it.
Right.
Or take it and leave, you know, I don't know what I'm saying. Take the cat and leave us empty-handed.
Gotcha.
So do you think I'm leaving anything out? Is there a piece of the story that's missing to you?
Well,
I want to make sure you have all the facts.
Okay.
And I want to make sure you're able to make an informed decision.
Okay, sounds like a wild cat.
No, he's very friendly. He's extremely friendly.
Do you think he's been in a house before?
It's hard to say, but I wouldn't be surprised. But we got a hold of all the neighbors. It's none of their cat. So this cat was hanging out, I guess.
Well, maybe he was just living his best life outside.
He may have been.
So it might not be anybody's cat.
But now he has a home. And that home is my home.
Uh-huh. So you like the cat?
I do like the cat.
And how do the other cats like that
we
cat?
We haven't really introduced them
Ooh.
Yet. But they know, because he hasn't been fixed, he hasn't gotten right. shots, we don't want to expose them to anything potentially dangerous. So he's going to stay away from them for a while. After we get him to the vet and all taken care of, then we'll slowly start to integrate him with the other cats. We've named him Bernie.
Oh, Bernie?
After Bernie Mac.
Oh, I was thinking Weekend at Bernie's.
Weekend at Bernie's, too.
Because he just kind of spent the weekend.
Yeah, he did. You know? That's fair.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll sell that.
Okay.
Kid hates the name and thinks it's her cat.
Mm.
What do you think?
Does she realize what it's going to take care of a cat if she was to take him to college? Or if
I offered to buy her a cat or two from the Humane Society, and everybody has a cat, everybody's happy, everybody wins. She said, no, I want this cat.
She's rebelling.
She's doing something.
She's rebelling because she feels like that's just what she wants.
Right.
That's what she's doing.
Yeah, she's trying to play to emotions.
Yeah.
And I'm the one who gets yelled at by the other parent.
Yeah.
Right? You're being out of line. All I'm doing is arguing facts.
Well,
right?
what does your wife think about the situation?
She thinks, again, well, if you were right, I'd be on your side. But she doesn't think I'm right.
So she doesn't
think
you're
right. She
says
I'm being out of line, but I'm not being out of line. I'm arguing the facts.
Well, is
the cat has a home. It was found on our property.
I was going to ask that. Where was it? Was the tree that the cat was found in on your property?
Yes, it was in our yard.
So let's see. We're going to have to find somebody about the rules about if it's in your yard on your property. Isn't that considered yours?
You would
or
think.
Is it not? Is it because could I come out and just say, hey, I like that car you got over there. I think I'm going to keep it.
Not to mention, we don't know when she's going to be in a living situation that, exactly, a living situation that could withstand a cat, could accommodate a cat, right? So we're going to take this cat into our home, let it out, introduce it to all the other cats, feed it, take care of it, nurture it, love it, and then just someday, oh, by the way, this is her cat, so it's gone now.
You can't do that to the cat.
You can't do that to the cat.
You can't do that to the cat. I'm sorry. That's where I stand on that. If you're going to introduce it to the family and give it a family, then just say, hey, yeah, see you later. You can't do that.
You can't do it. And no. My wife's argument again is, well, the kid comes home, so the cat will be coming back too. No, that's even worse. You're going to confuse the cat. Where do I live?
Doesn't know.
Do I live here with these people and these cats, or do I live with this person and no cats?
No, I think... This would have been great to argue with you because I could have really got you going, but I'm kind of on your side on this. Devil's advocate could have been really fun.
Well, do it. Play the devil. See, I want to know because when we were arguing and it was over text mostly, obviously, I get it. I'm not going to belittle anybody, but the kid's argument was all emotion, right? I'm upset about this. This is, you know, it's an emotional argument. Mine was facts, and obviously... Because I'm being a little more direct and a little more firm, I get yelled at and I get called out. But help me understand the other side. Just because you found it?
It's not your cat, is it? It wasn't yours.
No.
I found this cat and tried to help it in order to save it. And so why wouldn't you let me keep it? Because if I wouldn't, you wouldn't have the cat anyway.
I guess that's an argument.
It's an argument, yeah. You wanted one, here it is.
That's the argument.
I mean, it's not yours. You didn't have it. You would have never known it was there. I found it. I wanted to help it. I wanted to take care of it. So I got out of the tree. We took it down. We've been taking care of him. I wanted to take him with me.
I left.
But I want to take him with me.
Hmm.
Why can't I take him with me? Or else you would have never had that cat anyway. He probably ran to the neighbor's house.
Maybe. We're very accommodating. We feed stray cats, the other neighbor cat, who does belong to someone, so we can't keep it and take care of it. As far as we know, it belongs to someone. It doesn't seem like it. But his name's Tater Tot. He's a good kid. He's an orange guy. And we feed him all the time. And he hangs out at our house, and you know, but it's not our cat. This is our cat hanging out at our house.
But it wasn't your cat. It was your daughter's cat who brought it to you.
And
to let
you
know...
Really,
well, I'm playing the other side right now because I can see the other side.
It's tough.
So as that, I would say it's my cat because I'm the one that helped. I'm the one that got it. I'm the one that helped save it. Why am I not being able to take it with me? If I want to take it with me. If not, let me put it back in the tree and see what happens.
Who's providing the food and shelter for this cat?
Well, she would be.
But who is now?
Well, you were at the time, but as a parent, wouldn't you do that for somebody else?
Not for another adult.
For another animal or a person, if someone was in trouble and your daughter was bringing them back, saying, hey, I just want to help out here for a little bit, and then I'm decide what I want to do, would you not help? Or would you say no?
I would assume my help.
If it was a dog or a cat or a person.
I would assume my help and my financial contributions and my emotional attachment.
Then if you don't,
it's my cat.
If you don't want to, because of the financial stress it may put on the family, you say, no, I'm sorry, we can't do that.
No, I can do it. That's my point.
But that's what I'm saying.
I can handle the financial
stress.
But the kid cannot.
You're helping your daughter, though, right now, right?
I guess.
Are you going to kick her to the curb?
Perhaps.
Oh, well, see, that's a different story. And we all know
she
you're not.
She doesn't live with us.
We all know you're not going to.
She lives in the dorm. She's already on the curb.
Yeah, she lives in the dorm. So my argument on the other side would be, why wouldn't I keep the cat? I found the cat. I helped the cat. Yes, I was at your house when this was going on. But if I wasn't here, the cat wouldn't be there as it is. So why can't I keep the cat? Because I found it.
Or just somebody else would have found it.
Possibly.
Does luck play into this? Does sheer timing? She doesn't live there. She was going out. She happened to see a cat.
Yeah.
Does that mean?
Did she see the cat and just drive by, say, see ya?
No.
She got out in order to help the cat, maybe thinking, oh, I might want to take care of this cat. Maybe it could be my cat. If it's nobody else's cat and it's roaming around, it needs a home, I want to help it. Right now, I'm at my parents' house, so we obviously would have to keep it at my parents' house.
She already has a cat among our four cats. She has a cat who is extremely attached to her, and she is attached to it. The argument for not taking this cat is that this cat's 14 years old and just wouldn't be probably right in a lot of ways. Wouldn't be feasible.
Okay, so now she has another one.
Or she I buy for her.
It sounds like you're emotionally attached to this cat, so you're wanting to keep it.
I'm emotionally attached to every cat.
I know, but we're talking about this cat.
Uh-huh.
What happened was you got attached to the cat, and so you don't really want to let it go. You don't lie.
I don't.
You don't care?
No, I don't want to let it go. That's
correct. Exactly.
I'm bringing facts here, as I said I was.
So on the other side of it, is she doing this because she knows you're attached to it? Just to play little rebel?
No, I don't think so.
So she loves the cat?
I guess.
Well, then why wouldn't
you? But we all love the cat.
Yeah, but she found
the
cat.
And the cat loves all of us.
So why not let her keep it?
Because it lives at my house.
Because you want the cat when it comes down to it.
Because its current living situation involves my care, my shelter, my love and affection.
But it hasn't even been introduced to the other cats yet.
Not yet.
So this is why you should have let her take it.
It could be.
I don't know why you wouldn't have let her take it.
I thought you were on my side.
I'm playing the other side.
Okay, well, I thought you were supposed to mediate. I've paid you $1,000.
You did?
To offer your professional opinion.
Well, most mediators, if you'd have paid me $1,000, I'd have done what you wanted.
But it was an anonymous $1,000. You didn't know who's coming from. These are nameless, faceless people.
Right.
Who gets the cat? The person who found it? Or the person who housed it?
Well, I just told you my. I gave you both sides.
For my wife, I can skip the part.
I just played both sides. You can pick. As a mediator, I've made good points on both sides.
But a mediator.
You haven't introduced the cat to the rest of the cats yet.
But so they know he's there.
But they might not get along. And if that's the case, then you don't want that cat.
Then we got
you're
a
not
problem.
Ruining the other four. So instead, why don't you just knock it out and let her take it? And see how it goes.
I don't think you're on my side. This is getting a little out of hand with you playing that side.
This is what I'm doing. I'm playing the other side.
I don't know.
You asked me to.
I need a final decision.
Well, ask Max. Maybe Max has the final decision.
Max, what's the final decision, assuming you've been listening to him?
Oh, he's been listening. I know he has.
What do you think? What you say goes.
She lives in the dorm?
Yes. She might have an apartment next semester, but she
do they allow pets in
no
the
money,
dorms?
I think.
Really? That surprises me.
I think you have to sign waivers and stuff like that.
I don't think it's good for
not at
the cat to be in a dorm.
Yeah. No.
Like, if I'm... I know I played both sides here, but... If she had her own apartment, different story. In a dorm, I don't think I wouldn't
so
let
we're talking
my
again.
My daughter's going to K-State next year, and I don't think I would allow her to have.
So
a
again,
pet.
We're talking next August when we got to take this cat away. That's not right.
No, if it's at your house that long, then I would say no.
Okay.
But as of right now, if she had her own place up there, her own apartment, you know, share an apartment with roommates, whatever. I think it's okay. In a dorm, I wouldn't want to be in a dorm room when someone brought a cat in, and then it's in my dorm as well.
Plus, to terrorize the cat when the partying's going on.
Or anything. So yeah, I don't agree with having a pet in a dorm. I guess that's where I'm at.
All right.
I don't know. Maybe lots of people have done that. Does she have roommates in her dorm room?
That's another whole story. Her roommate's moving out, so I don't know what her situation is.
Okay. But in the dorm, I would say no.
All right.
That's where I'm at. If she had her own place, I would say yes.
Let's take a break.
And I also think that it's maybe a little bit more her cat because she found it.
That's not what you said.
I'm very confused. It is.
Very confused.
Well, I've been on both sides here. I'm playing the advocate. I told you the rest of the segment, I was going to play the other side.
When you advocate for both, you advocate for nobody.
I told you what I've advocated for.
Okay. Let's take a break. We got Joe Posnanski on the other side. He's got a new book out called Why We Love Football. He's in Wichita tomorrow. We'll talk to him about those things. Stay with us, Bob and Jeff on KFH.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
Happy to be joined by a best-selling author of many books. His new one is called Why We Love Football, A History in 100 Moments. Tomorrow he'll be here in Wichita at Watermark Books at 6 o'clock. It's Joe Posnanski. Joe, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We are doing well. So you had the book Why We Love Baseball, which was fantastic. And in that book, you talked about how when you ask people that question, there's a lot of answers. They're long answers. When you ask people why we love football, is that an easier question to answer for people, do you think?
Yes, it is. I think probably an easier answer because I think it's much more from the gut, you know, much more emotional when you ask people that. But I also think the answers are all over the place. I mean, they're just, you know, in baseball, almost always the answer seems to be some kind of, you know, going back to their childhood, some connection to family, some connection to, you know, something that they thought about, you know, baseball cards or something when they were 10. And you ask people that question about football, and it might be because they love their fantasy team. It might be because they love the Chiefs. It might be because, you know, they've got money on the game. It might be because, you know, they went to Alabama. I mean, it could be like 5 million different things. So that definitely made the book a little bit different, or actually a lot different to write.
Well, and it's funny you brought that up because obviously with football, and you mentioned fantasy football, it's kind of taken over the NFL when you really think about it, and it's probably why it's grown to be what it is. Do you have anything in the book about fantasy football? Is there a chapter in there? And also, what exactly did you find out about it that might be interesting for us?
Well, I touch on it several times in the book. I don't have a very specific chapter about it because I think everybody has different feelings about, you know, fantasy football and their teams. And I mean, it's a very personal thing. I think that what's interesting about it is, I mean, a lot of things, but obviously where football's base is, I mean, you know, I'm in Kansas City, as you mentioned, I'll be in Wichita tomorrow, excited to come. But you're here, you're in Green Bay, you're in Buffalo, you're in Cleveland, you're in Detroit, so many other, you know, 32 other places or whatever. It's all surrounding that one team. And yet when it comes to fantasy football, it's all surrounding very, very individual teams. And so you've got people in in Wisconsin watching the Dolphins game because they've got Tua as their quarterback, or you know, you've got somebody in Salina, you know, watching the Browns because you've got the Browns defense or whatever. Which, by the way, don't do that if you're in Salina. But you know, the point is that it's very personal, and football has gotten into people's lives in ways that that you know nothing else in America has. I mean, not just sports. I mean, football is by far the biggest thing in America right now. And you know, that's, I think, because of the so many different ways that you can enjoy it.
Talking with author Joe Posnanski, whose new book is called Why We Love Football. One of the reasons why we here in Wichita love football, at least before the Chiefs became dynastic, was, of course, Barry Sanders, yeah, who's from Wichita. I know you have a chapter about him, I think, in your book. I started reading it. But you did not rate him among the 10 best players in the history of the NFL. And we don't look kindly upon stuff like that here in Wichita. So explain yourself, Joe.
Well, yeah, I was going to say the good news is that I'm already used to this with the Baseball 100. There's never a place I go where people aren't mad at me for something that I've done. Look, I only rank the 10 greatest, and there are already two running backs in there, but I've said this, I say this in the book. Barry Sanders is the single most exciting player to ever play professional football or college football for that matter. I don't think there's ever been a player who could make your jaw drop the way that Barry Sanders could. He was absolutely breathtaking and brilliant in so many ways. And of course, and he retired young. You know, he retired in his prime, and a lot like Jim Brown in that way. And kind of disappeared, right? And now he's, you know, the movie just came out about him, the 30 for 30, and you know, you'll see him on a couple of commercials now and again. But he's just an extraordinary figure, and it was so much fun to write about him. And he absolutely could have been in the top 10, but he wasn't. You know, that's just sort of that's a problem with only doing 10 in a top 10.
True.
How long does it take you to write a book like this? Like, for me, just to sit and think about how much you have to do and how much you have to write, just to give us a little rundown on what you, how you decided to get to it, and then where did you go to get all the information? How many people did you talk to? Just to give us a bit of a rundown, if you don't mind.
Yeah, no, not at all. For me, it's very interesting because the actual writing of the book and even the research, which I do at the same time, that doesn't take very long. It really doesn't. I work very, very quickly. So I'll write, you know, for a book like this, there are the days that I've wrote multiple chapters on the same day. So, I mean, I do write very quickly. For me, it's designing the book in my mind, coming up exactly with what the book is, exactly what these moments are, exactly where these moments are going to go. That takes a long time. So that was months and months of just prep work and thinking about it. And this book was, it had a lot of different shapes and a lot of different sizes. I as far as the research goes, I've talked to a bunch of people. I couldn't give you a number necessarily, but a whole bunch of people. And of course, in a lot of ways, this book, like the baseball book, is a lifetime of work. I mean, I've obviously been writing about football for 35 years. So you know, I've talked to countless people during that time that play a role in this book. There's a Priest Holmes chapter as an example, and as a guy that I covered at length when he was with the Chiefs back in the early 2000s. But a lot of the research I do is very much going back to the archives, going to the newspapers. I spent a week at NFL Films watching the old videos of these plays and really diving into the research that they have, which is incredible, the research they have over at NFL Films in New Jersey there. So for me, it's a lot like that. It's I want to be able to feel every moment like it was new, like it just happened. And you know, the best way to do that is to go back and read the old newspaper clippings, to read the old Sports Illustrated pieces, to watch the old videos, and you know, really live those moments as best I can.
Talking with Joe Posnanski, his new book is called Why We Love Football. It is out now. So you were a big Cleveland Browns fan. I'm a huge Cleveland Guardians fan. So, you know, a few years ago, I decided, okay, I'll kind of enjoy the Browns in passing. And once they signed Deshaun Watson, that was it. I don't care about the Browns anymore. You jumped off for a minute. You're sort of back on now. I read your Browns diary every Monday. Obviously, it's a much more cynical view of the Browns than it was 3 or 4 years ago. But what is your experience now watching the Cleveland Browns?
Well, it's definitely not the same experience as it was. You know, and it's funny because the Browns, I mean, there are many chapters to being a Browns fan. None of them with a good ending, but many chapters anyway. So yeah, for years, when I first started doing this diary that I do for my newsletter that you mentioned, they were terrible. I mean, they literally went winless, you know, in 18, I guess, and were 1-15 the year before, and they kept their coach through both of those seasons. I mean, it was just hopeless. And so it felt funny to me. I mean, it was obviously rough as a fan, but at some point it becomes so bad that you just kind of like, with every week it was a joy to just kind of recap the madness, you know. And then they got decent, you know, they went to the playoffs, they got Baker Mayfield, and that was fun, and then, you know, they kind of started falling off, and then the Deshaun Watson thing happened, and I felt like you. I was like, well, that's it, I'm done with them. But, you know, when you're a fan for 50 years of a team, it's hard to be done with them. And I didn't want them to win necessarily, but I found that I couldn't care about anybody else the way I cared about the Browns. And now, you know, writing about them, of course, Watson is hurt. It feels like there's a possibility that he's just done with the Browns. I mean, certainly hope so. And so I'm watching them, and I'm, you know, kind of getting a little bit back into it, kind of rooting for them. But I mean, it's definitely different. But I think everybody goes through those different phases. I mean, obviously the team I've been closest to for the last 20 plus years are the Chiefs, and you know, that's a team that's obviously had the same, you know, there were very difficult periods of time for rooting for that team. There was that whole stretch of time where they were good but not good enough, and that was really frustrating. And now, of course, they're the, you know, the toast of the NFL. So I think that's how it feels to be a fan, is you just kind of go up and down with what your team is doing at the moment.
No question. So tell us about tomorrow night's event here at Watermark Books. 6:00 it starts. What should we expect? Because I do have tickets for that, Joe.
Yeah, I think that's great. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, we'll talk some of the book, but we're really going to talk about everything. I mean, you know, it's obviously every one of these events, and they've been so fun. I've been doing them all over the country, and you know, it's. I'll talk a little bit. I'll tell a few stories, but then it's open up to questions and talk about anything. Talk about baseball. Talk about football. Talk about college football. Talk about anything anybody wants to talk about. And we go into some pretty fun places. And you know, a whole bunch of family members are going to be there, so it's gonna have a good family feel there in Wichita. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to it.
I'm curious on, you know, for a guy that's really doesn't read a lot, you know, you talk and you hear about people that they get a book and they're going on a book tour and they're going to sign. How long does this take? How long do you do it for? And where do you go? Like, it's got to take up a ton of time, but it's something you have to do, correct?
It is. I mean, honestly, I mean, I'll be brutally honest about the book business. There aren't many people who get to go on book tours like this anymore. I mean, it is brutally, brutally hard these days in the publishing business, just because, you know, their bookstores are, you know, they're coming back a little bit. But I mean, obviously, there are fewer bookstores, certainly fewer national book chains. There's really only the one. I mean, there's Books a Million as well, but they're mostly Barnes and Noble. Most books get sold on Amazon. It's just a different business. So the opportunity to do this, and for me, I think Wichita is going to be my 20th or 26th city on this tour.
Wow.
which is amazing and exhausting and all of those things that you think it would be. But it's incredible that, like, that doesn't happen. It really doesn't happen anymore for very many people. And so I feel incredibly lucky and, you know, coming out, you know, people who come out to these events, I want them to have a good time, because I mean, it's very much a real gift to be able to travel around the country and talk about your book. I mean, that's what it's all about, is getting people to, you know, engaged and hopefully, you know, you and I've gotten to meet so many incredible people, and they've told me incredible stories that are going to lead up to other stories. And so it's really a blast. And again, I mean, for me, this is coming home, right? So I'm coming to Kansas City tonight. There's an event at the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum here in Kansas City that I'm going to be at, which will be great fun. And then hop in the car with my wife, head back to Wichita for her. It's homecoming, and it's going to be a blast.
So are you doing these like every 2 days, every day? 'Cause this is crazy. This is 26. Have you been just on the road for the last 2.5 months?
I've been on the road more or less for the last 2.5 months. I've had a week or two in there that were not too bad. But at the beginning, like the first 3 weeks, I think I hit like 15 cities in the first 3 weeks. So, I mean, literally that was every single day. It was just, I was going from, I can tell you the very first part of it was I started in New York, and then I was in Washington, Nashville, Kansas City, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Chicago, Pittsburgh, Winston-Salem. I mean, it was like every day I was going to a new place. So that's intense and a lot. But again, you know, all you can do is be thankful, because I mean, like I said, very, very few people get that kind of tour anymore.
I promise we're going to let you go. You've been extremely gracious with your time, but since you'll only get this question about 6,000 other times, I will ask you, when do we get Why We Love Basketball?
that is a question that I do get a lot. I can tell you I'm working on my next book. I can't really talk about my next book yet, because we're hoping to have a big reveal. I can tell you I'm writing it with somebody else, and not a celebrity. I mean, well, he's sort of a celebrity, but we're co-writing a book together, and it's going to be, we're in the middle of it right now, and it's going to be so much fun, and there's going to be basketball in it. There's going to be lots and lots of different kinds of sports in it, and it's going to be, it's completely different. It's completely different from the Why We Love series, but it's I think it's going to be really, really great fun for people.
Joe, thanks. I won't tell Mike Scherer you called him not a celebrity.
But actually, you know what? Tell him he's not a celebrity. I don't care what he says. He can tell me he's a celebrity as many times as he wants. I'm not buying it.
Fair enough. We appreciate it, Joe. Thanks so much. Good luck.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. See ya. That was great.
That was good.
Yeah.
You got tickets? Are you going?
Of course.
Well, obviously you're going.
I need to find somebody to go with. My wife will be out of town. You want to go?
No, thanks.
What? Imagine if you had said that on the air.
It's a book thing. You know me, it's not my thing.
Yeah, but he's just going to talk about sports. That's what we do here.
Exactly. So I have 2 hours and then another 2 hours? That's lots.
Maybe an hour. All right, whatever.
We'll see. We'll see.
Do what you want to do.
We'll see. Probably not, but we'll see.
All right.
With all due respect, of course, it's just not my thing. How many Springfields are there in the United States?
We did this game a few weeks ago.
What?
Max against Bob. I gave them the city name. They had to tell me how many cities or what states that city was in. But it had to be a population of at least 20,000. And I think Springfield, there were 6.
That's it?
For 20,000?
Where is, so have we figured out if where Homer lives, Springfield what?
No.
Did they come up with it? They've never come up with that, have they?
No, I thought they did an episode.
It was on an episode when you could see like 4 states have bordered it. Maine, Nevada. It was something really ridiculous, yeah.
Yeah, you couldn't really tell exactly what state it was. Or could you? I don't know. 67 populated places in the United States named Springfield. However, the U.S. Board on Geographic Names says that only 34 states have a Springfield.
So there's multiple Springfields in multiple states, probably.
Probably
just
not.
Basic math.
Maybe, I don't know.
Well, if only 34 states have it and there's 60 what?
No.
No what?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't
exactly.
know if that's what that meant or not. I didn't know if, I don't know if 67 and 34 is what that meant.
Well, whatever. Doesn't matter.
Do you know which Springfield basketball was invented in?
No.
Massachusetts.
Old Massachusetts.
Yeah.
No, never would have guessed
Springfield,
that.
Mass. Do you know who invented basketball?
Oh, the Canadian dude.
Was he Canadian?
Yeah. Oh, it was basketball was invented in Canada. I got
that. Spring. No, it wasn't.
Yeah. Check it.
He was not invented in Canada.
It was invented in Canada.
No.
Yeah, we were the ones that figured out how to cut the bottom out of the baskets.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that was a smart move.
I got the Springfield thing.
It was easier than climbing a ladder every time to get the ball back.
That's true. What, Max?
Here's a Simpson Springfield thing.
Oh.
You can see the four states that border Springfield: Ohio, Nevada, Maine, and Kentucky.
Ohio and Kentucky border one another, so maybe they're onto something there.
Could be.
Kentucky's just a fun state to say. Do you know where James Naismith coached?
In college? Kansas.
Yeah, he was the first coach of the University of Kansas.
Yes.
Isn't that crazy? The inventor of the game later went on to coach it, and he coached it at KU, of all places.
Who'd have thought?
It's wild.
Who'd have thought? There was a 30 for 30 on that. Did you ever watch it?
No, there wasn't.
Yeah, there was some. There was a short. I think it was a 30 for 30.
It was on like an original rules, right?
Yeah, and they bought the. Somebody was there and they went and bought all the original paperwork.
Yeah, like the rules of the game.
Something like that.
Does Allen Fieldhouse have those?
I don't know. That's where I was going. It's just, if you knew that by chance, I would think they would be there, right? I thought they bought them to donate them to the school. It was actually a kind of interesting episode.
They are on display at the DeBruce Center as of 2016. The new student and visitor center at the University of Kansas. And that's where the original rules of basketball are housed. Not at Allen Fieldhouse, but we were close.
We're right.
We didn't embarrass ourselves.
We're in the vicinity.
Yeah, we were in Lawrence.
That's all we want. If we're in the same vicinity. As long as we're in the vicinity, we're good.
KU, by the way, played last night.
They won last night.
KU beat UNC Wilmington. Do you know who beat? Do you know who K-State beat?
No, they were playing somebody
terrible.
They were favored by almost 40, I think.
Yeah, and they only won by like 18. They were trailing in the second half.
What?
To Mississippi Valley State University, one of the worst programs. Do you know who Mississippi Valley State's only victory in college basketball this season is?
The Sexsmith Secondary School.
It's basically that. It's almost worse. When I tell you who Mississippi Valley State beat in basketball, you won't believe it. This will be beyond your comprehension.
UCLA.
Who is it?
No. It's nothing. It's nobody like that. It's
on the, do I know them?
No,
like I probably don't know.
It's on the complete opposite end of the spectrum of a team like UCLA.
Well, who is it? I don't know then. How am I supposed to guess that?
You're not. But once I need to build it up. Because once I tell you...
Well, is it a high school?
No.
Was it like early on?
What do you mean?
Well, I don't know. What is it? Like, could it be... Did they play... Okay, so this has got to be something goofy. Now I'm kind of interested.
A community college.
Was it a community college?
It's a Division III school.
Division III school.
They're called...
Was it women?
It is, sort of.
Is it really?
No, but
it's not?
Beat the Mississippi University for Women.
So...
But they have men there.
Okay.
And men play basketball at the Mississippi University. Would that be a good recruiting pitch? Hey, you come play at the University for Women? Because obviously there's going to be a lot of women at that college. Or does someone say, hey, we want you to come play at the University for Women, and you get punched in the face? Which is it? I could go either way with that.
That's interesting. It's kind of like flip a coin.
It's D3?
It's Division III.
Division III.
They don't even have scholarships.
So they're just all walk-ons, the guys that are out there watching the women's game, and they're like, hey, let's throw a men's team together? Is that this team?
You want to know who the Mississippi Women's College beat?
A men's team. I'm just rolling with it
here. They beat Pensacola Christian College. You want to know who they beat? We can do this.
Who, Pensacola Christian College?
Yeah, who did they beat?
That's tongue twister there. They beat a women's a varsity high school team.
They beat Appalachian Bible College, 83-42.
I would have guessed Pontius Pilate, you, but
you know who?
My nephew went to Pensacola Christian, so hold on.
Oh, there you go.
Really?
Yes.
You have family everywhere. I think you're just making that up. Don't do that.
Let's put $100 on it and see.
Do you know who Appalachian Bible College beat?
Who?
I don't know. They don't have their schedule updated.
They don't even have a schedule. They don't
they
even have a
schedule, but they don't have the score.
They don't even have a website, probably.
They have the addresses of the colleges they play against, but they don't have any scores.
That's odd.
But once I show you the picture of the Appalachian Bible College team, it's mesmerizing.
Is it?
It is. That's a basketball team, Mike.
Looks like a junior high team. Especially the coach.
Yeah, it's bad.
I love it. Good stuff.
We're going to take a break.
Are we? Because this is good. We're rolling good with this.
But we don't know who Appalachian Bible College beat.
So it ruined it. It's done.
It did ruin it. You got to update your schedule. They played Boyce College.
We need to call them during the break.
They play Boyce College tomorrow.
Boyce College.
Boyce.
Boyce.
B-O-Y-C-E.
Old Boyce College.
Let's see who they beat.
They got a hockey team.
They do?
I don't know.
Boyce College men's basketball. I'm going to tell you real quick.
Is that a D3 or D7? What are we at?
They're 0-3. They lost to Alice Lloyd, Ohio Christian, and Grace Christian. Too bad.
It's disappointing. 0-3. Tough start for the kids. Hopefully they bounce back.
I'm sure they will. We'll come back and talk to Mike Furches about pop culture to start our number two. Mike is in some festive gear today, but we can't say why. Stay with us, Bob and Jeff on KFH.
I heartily endorse this event or product.
Hey, kids, what time is it?
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Jeff Lutz.
Soak it in, boys and girls.
I know, so weird, but you know the heart wants what the heart wants.
And Jason Duda.
Soak it in.
Stop it! You people are supposed to be funny and wacky.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Showtime. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
Ready.
Matt, Mike, we're on the air.
Come on, Mike.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
I didn't know that. Thanks for the warning. Thanks for the warning, Max.
Santa comes in, and here you go. Presents everywhere.
Hey, but you can continue exactly what you're saying. We're joined by Mike Furches. We're talking pop culture. I never got your email. We're going to go see that movie at some point.
I sent it to you, but it just must not have come through.
Do you know my email address? I sent it to you.
It's jlutz something or other at
Jeff
Gmail.
Jeff D. Lutz.
Yeah.
But there's numbers in it, so don't send. Nobody send email to Jeff D. Lutz anything.
Big movie week.
What is it?
Well, tonight, this week, they kind of started off early as Bonhoeffer, who is a theologian noted for his attempt to kill Hitler during World War II, and which was ironic because he was a pacifist. If you can imagine a pacifist, but with the attempt to Hitler,
Hitler's a different
it's a different category. But that started this week, so I'm going to see that tonight. Tomorrow night, I'm really excited. I'm going to see Gladiator 2 on the big screen.
Oh, that should be. I never saw
Gladiator 1.
Gladiator 1 was good.
Case closed.
It was.
This will be better.
Gladiator 1 was good.
What's
Do they need the sequel to Gladiator?
It's kind of hard to tell. It looks good. I'll say that.
Is it a sequel or just like a different story?
I think it's being billed as a sequel.
Yeah.
It's how it's being billed. But it looks good. With the new CGI stuff and all the things that they're doing, it actually looks really good. And Denzel.
That's the only thing.
That's Denzel.
The selling point.
No. Are you not entertained?
If you want me to see a movie, Denzel done.
And then this week is tomorrow night also is the open. Well, I say tomorrow night. For those that don't know, Thursday nights are generally the opening nights for most new releases. Although they bill it that the opening nights are not until Friday, but they're actually on Thursday. They're kind of like sneak previews.
Don't tell everybody that, Mike. They'll start to show up at movies on Thursdays.
Well,
be crowded out.
I want people to go to the movies. But also opening up tomorrow night is the new Wicked. And that looks actually quite good as well. And it looks like they've changed the play production storyline a little bit, which I'm glad about. But the special effects and so forth on that, especially with just having the Wizard of Oz celebration that we had, it's a prime time to open up that movie as well. So there's a bunch of others coming out
what
as well.
What about
those three.
Moana 2? That's next week, right?
Yeah. But I think Moana 2 will not do as well as either Wicked or Gladiator. Hmm. We'll see.
What's going on with The Rock? He's Mr. Persona non grata almost.
Well, he's in the red one.
No one saw it. Well, and knowing the people who saw it didn't like it.
Well, they don't know what they're talking about. I loved it. I thought it was really good, and I really enjoyed it. It's not it's the way I described it, it's a comic book version of a Marvel comic or DC comic book with overtones of 007 and creatures from Star Wars.
And what?
it's not for little kids.
That's what it looked like to me. It's a very good premise. I feel like just from the previews, they may have taken it too far.
Well, J.K. Simmons, an Academy Award winning actor, is in it. The Rock's in it, and I think it's better than some people are giving it credit for. The folks at the theater when I was there that saw it last week, they loved it. And that's kind of what's showing up on Rotten Tomatoes. The critics, it's got like a score of 30 something, and with fans, it's like 90 something. So it's one of those movies that the critics hate. And you're not going to read good critical reviews. That's why I don't consider myself a critic. I watch movies for fun and for enjoyment. And I think the people in the theater enjoyed it. And it was really kind of quite fun because I went dressed up as Santa Claus and my wife went dressed up as Mrs. Claus. And
you just went out in your regular clothes.
Yeah.
And
then for an hour after the movie, we had people coming up wanting to take pictures. And almost all adults wanting to take pictures and talking to us about stuff. So it was a lot of fun.
You know what? I just had a revelation.
Uh-oh.
What The Rock needs to do to get people back? He needs to play a serious but tender role. He needs to change his image a little bit, and to change his image off screen, he has to change his image on screen. He needs to go try to win an Oscar.
I like The Rock, but I don't know if that's possible.
I don't know that it is either, but I'd like to see him try.
Yeah, I'd like to see him try. Maybe he has tried. I just haven't heard of it. I haven't heard of it for a reason.
I don't think if he does a role like that, that anybody could take it too serious is a problem.
Yeah. It's too late?
I think it's way too late for
Adam
him
Sandler
to play a role like that.
But I would question his success in doing it, though.
Adam Sandler?
Yeah.
Uncut Gems, Punch Drunk Love, people like
Punch Drunk Love was... But they were never, I don't think, as big as his comedic roles.
No, but he was acclaimed, right, for those roles. Critics loved it. He did a good job.
But who gives a crit about critics whenever? Like the Rex Reeds of the world and so forth.
But if you're now recognized as a great actor instead of just a one-note guy, Adam Sandler can only do comedies, Rock can only be in action movies. Then you change the game a little bit. You flip the script, Mike.
Ric Flair can only go woo, but I still kind of like the guy. You know?
Right, but The Rock has become a little bit of a stay away guy for whatever reason.
Yeah,
because he pees in bottles and gives them to production assistants and is 8 hours late.
I like to see him try, but I don't know if he. I don't know if it'd be any good. I just don't know. He's fun at what he does. I wouldn't say he's a great actor, though.
But what if he was? What if it's been in there this whole time?
And maybe you can raise up the $45 million for a salary to give him a chance at doing it.
I'll see what I can do. I'll start a GoFundMe. Dudes, you got anything?
I don't know. Are you watching anything right now? We're talking in the break.
Yellowstone. The new series with Billy Bob Thornton. Bob and I had a little bit of a disagreement on Yellowstone. I think Yellowstone's going to be just fine.
Beth is
ruthless, man. She is the one ruthless. I would not want to get her on my bad side.
No.
And her brother has her on his bad side. And the other thing is don't sleep in Texas out in the wild if you hadn't checked for rattlesnakes.
Yeah, that was good. I watched the two that have been out, and they're good. Have you watched Landman?
I've watched the first episode.
Now, there's only one out.
Yeah.
And I think I'm going to get hooked on that.
Billy Bob Thornton, oil tycoon kind of in Texas and kind of has to deal with the drug cartel.
And oil
and gas rights.
I don't know. The first one got me, so I'm going to be – I'll watch it.
But Billy Bob – I watched an interview with him today. He's sitting there with I can't remember the name of the actress – and she asked him if he's wearing women's jeans. He says, well, yeah, but they fit better. I've got real skinny legs like chickens, and they make me look better. he's a character. Billy Bob is a character.
But he's a good actor.
I got to interview him a long time ago, and one of my favorite interviews I ever did because he was nothing like what some people expect him to be. And I think he's not just a good actor. I think he's a great actor. And I love Billy Bob and about everything. And his band is not a bad band either. They're a fairly good band. They were just, in fact, I think they were in Wellington here just a week or so ago.
Nice. Are you watching Matlock? I forgot.
Oh, yeah. Kathy Bates.
Settle the argument. You heard it in the first segment. Yeah. The secondary storyline sucks.
No, it doesn't.
It's garbage.
No, it's not.
Trash.
Only because you don't like classic movies. I'm with Jason on this one.
Well, then explain yourself.
I like the homage to the old story, to the old Andy Griffith show, the old Matlock show. And then
is that an homage?
And then it kind of overtones as well to Andy Griffith show with Barney, some of the things that's been said. And she's just, it's a great actress. I think it's one of those, Jeff, to give you a little bit of credit, we'll see how the second season goes. And by the way, I wish they'd quit doing that garbage and go back to showing the full season without having to give us a 3-month break over the course of the winter to wonder what happens next.
I don't like that. Finish it off and then do something the next year. Like, come on.
I think they'll lose audience members because of that.
Well, I wasn't happy High Potential. Jeff and I were talking about that too, which we watch, and it's gone Matlock until January again.
What's that?
Is Matlock taking a break too?
Yeah.
What?
I know.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
That's absolute garbage.
I don't like it.
February? What, two and a half, three minutes? It's crazy. It's why are they too lazy to put a whole season of episodes together?
Oh, this is even worse. It's just ridiculous. It's on again in 2 weeks and then not on until January 30th.
It's not on for two weeks?
The next episode is December. Well, I guess maybe. December.
So they're not even having one tomorrow, Matlock.
I don't think
they're skipping the 21st and the 28th.
Thanksgiving, 5th. I get, but
it's back December 5th. And December 12th is the mid-season finale.
Was that As Good As It Gets, where Kathy Bates did the nude scene coming out of the hot tub?
Yeah, I believe that's correct.
What does Kathy Bates and Billy Bob Thornton have in common?
There was also...
Tell us, Max. I'd like to know the answer to that one.
They both were on Big Bang Theory.
Did you play that crazy woman in?
Misery.
Yeah.
Oh, and with what's his name that was in there? Got his legs.
James Caan.
Yeah, James Caan.
That's painful.
That was in. Was he
that she was so good in that. Oh, like, man,
did she win the Academy Award for that? For Miss.
Well, I hope so, because she had me scared just when they put her on the screen. She's just walking or doing anything. Yeah.
And then if you have the American Horror Story,
Here's what's going to happen. I thought you were going to the next.
Go ahead.
Show, but here's what's going to happen on Matlock, because her in infiltrating this law firm and trying to take at least one person down, but yet every week we see the fellow lawyers fighting for people, advocating for justice, rooting, you know, pulling for the underdog, fighting for the underdog. So they're going to take down the other guy, Jeff Bridges.
Yeah, that's who's going
down.
And
then they have to form some kind of an alliance because these characters are too likable for Kathy Bates, who's not really that likable. Especially in the dumb other garbage secondary storyline.
What are you talking about? Which is trash. Are you what happened to you today?
He's
lost
it.
You're gone.
He's lost it, Jason.
It's bad.
It's not bad. I think it's great.
I think it keeps the show going to a large extent. But the thing is, we already know who the villain is. I think we know with almost absolute certainty that it's Bridges.
Yeah, it's Jeff Bridges.
Yeah. And
Bo Bridges, sorry.
But we'll see what happens. There has to be something to give it a hope for another season, and I think that's probably it, what we're seeing on the secondary storyline.
Yeah, we have to
with those characters.
Well, what else?
Not a whole lot. It's just it's a busy time of year for me, but there's good movies. Because
what do you got going on?
I get to work 2 months a year so I can take vacations.
That's exciting.
And it gets real busy next week because it's Thanksgiving, and what I heard is that Santa Claus is at Cabela's.
Really?
And they have perceptions of what it is. I had a 93-year-old man come in the other day.
Sat on Santa's lap?
No, he was in a wheelchair. So, he served in Korea, served at the North Pole in Alaska.
Ooh.
And then right after him was two young soldiers that came in from McConnell. And I'll just say it, what a blessing it is to get to meet people like that have served our country.
What do they talk about with Santa?
Well, they just about when they were kids.
Really?
About when they were kids and how much they enjoyed Christmas and things like that. And it's just for the soldiers, we spoke about, you know, their service and all kinds of things along those natures and how much of a joy they had in doing it. And it was just you know, a guy 93 in a wheelchair, barely able to get on. We don't have many of those left, those soldiers of that age.
Not a lot.
And to get to speak to them about what it was like and what they did, but then right after them, I have a little girl that comes in. People think it's always, oh, it's so wonderful to be Santa Claus. Then a little girl comes in and she says, Santa, I would like for my mom and daddy to quit fighting so we could live together again for Christmas.
Oh,
yeah, that's
nice. It's heartbreaking.
I bet you get a lot of that.
I get at least one a night. Yeah. At least one a night. But there's always, so far this year, Wichita kids are phenomenal. Parents in Wichita, you've done a great job at raising your children. They're polite. They're courteous. I've not had anybody ask for an iPhone this year or things of that nature. They just, you know, I want peace and love and kindness. I have a lot of confidence in our youth. I really do. Our youth, our parents are doing a good job, and our youth are going to make
a lot better. I think everyone is always hopeful of the youth. It's when they become adults that's when we got to worry about them.
Yeah, but right now there's hope. I mean, there is seriously hope with those kids. And, you know, Jeff, you got kids that are in college now. Jason, you got one that's going to be going to school soon. And it's important to love your kids. And I think that's the main thing that kids want is to be loved. It's not the stuff that they want. They want family. And speaking
of loving your kids, who do you think should get the cat?
I think Jeff should get the cat.
Oh, he thinks I should get the cat.
That's actually loving your kid because of the responsibility and also the welfare of the cat. Not that she would do a bad job, but it's already formulated itself to you, and it's a part of the family already, and it's adjusted.
My thoughts exactly.
So, great minds think alike, Jeff.
As always. Duda was on the fence. Max was kind of on the fence.
No, Jason was just playing devil's advocate.
I told you my very first time when we first talked, I think it should stay at home.
Okay.
I think it should stay. But I was playing devil's advocate. And
you were? Well, he asked you to.
I know he didn't. Then he's like, well, why did you – but you said this.
I wanted you to.
Well, I did, and then you were mad that I was doing it.
You kind of took it a little too far.
Well, because it made sense. That's why.
It may have made sense, but it wasn't your true opinion, so you need to go back.
I told you my true opinion to start with.
What's Max's verdict on the cat?
I wasn't going to jump off the devil's advocate.
I told you, not in a dorm.
Yeah.
Okay. But should it be hers after that?
That's up on you.
Depends. That's
one. And I disagree with that. If you're going to have the cat at the house, he's going to be there for 6 months, then you can't move the cat. Yeah. I don't agree with that with any animal. Because they're supposed to be comfortable. Now they got to find it's brand new to them again.
And I'm actually disappointed in you, Jeff, on another subject.
What happened?
I am too. What it is, but I agree with Mike.
Biggest pop culture story of the day, 77. Happy birthday, Joe Walsh.
Oh, yeah, we didn't discuss that yet. That's on me. Joe Walsh, it's his birthday. Can we get Joe Walsh taking us to break, perhaps?
Break already?
We're getting
there. Hey, we were talking during the break. You said you were watching something on Peacock.
The Manson murders. Ian Manson, he had audio conversations, hundreds of hours with the guy, and the guys released the audio and they're talking about it. And basically, it's the Manson story with Manson telling a story. There's a lot of stuff. I've studied Manson because my degree is in abnormal psychology, so you have to kind of study Manson and people like that. And there's things I'm learning about Manson I didn't know in the docuseries. But it's on Peacock. It just came out this week. If you're interested in that kind of thing, it's well worth watching. And he certainly deserved what he got. But we were talking about how the prosecuting attorney had the book planned, writing the book before the trial ever went to trial. And things of that
nature. He was writing a book?
He hadn't started writing it yet, but he had made the plans and made the contracts with the publishing company.
Really?
Before it ever went to trial, yeah. Check it out. It's on Peacock. If you're into that kind of stuff, not everyone is. Bob and I spoke about
it
just a little bit.
I find it interesting, that stuff. That's why I was asking you. I'm going to ask you about, I'm sure you've seen it. Did you ever watch Blackbird?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I thought it was unbelievable.
Crazy story.
Crazy. Yeah. Some of that stuff, and I'm just with you with that. I find that stuff fascinating. Yeah.
You're the best, Mike. We appreciate it.
I'm not the best. Bob's the best, but he's not here.
Oh, my God.
You're right.
Yeah,
you're
you can leave
best.
Now. After that comment, you're out. That go on.
Love you guys.
Get out of here.
A tragic ending.
Can't believe I just
segment.
Kicked Santa Claus out of here, but I did.
You go.
You guys take care. Love you guys out there listening, too.
See you,
Mike. Thanks, Mike. We will come back after a little Indian summer. No, this is a life of illusion. I get those confused. They're both great. Stay with us. We got Gunta, the WWE World Heavyweight Champion, coming up next. It's Bob and Jeff on KFH.
WWE Monday Night Raw will be at Intrust Bank Arena on Monday, December 9th. You'll get to see all the stars. We have one of them right now. Gunther joins us from World Wrestling Entertainment. Gunther, hello. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
You bet. So you're on a roll. You had a very long run as Intercontinental Champion. You've been the WWE World Champion, World Heavyweight Champion. You've got a match coming up at Survivor Series War Games against Damian Priest. We're all looking forward to that match. He seems to be trying to get into your head. Is that easily done?
Well, usually not, but I'm not really used to losing that often. And obviously the match against Cody was a loss. And if you're always successful, it might be a little bit harder to deal with that than for others, but happens to the best, so we'll see.
How much fun is it to work with a guy like Damian Priest? I mean, he's a little bit older, but he hasn't necessarily been in a top spot for very long. He was also a World Heavyweight Champion at one time. You guys kind of elevate each other just by being in each other's presence and working with each other. How enjoyable is that for you?
I would always think like the best matchups in wrestling are always when two people have very big differences in like everything, their appearance, their style. I think that's what makes it different and enjoyable for the audience. And that's what matters the most. And I think, yeah, Priest is a very good case with that. I think we're very different. Like, appearance-wise, we're very different. In that ring, we're very different. How we talk is very different. So, yeah, I think that's what makes it interesting. And, yeah, let's see how it goes going into it. We still have a few weeks left till Survivor Series, and there's still some more time to get that match built up and hyped up.
We're talking with Gunther, the World Heavyweight Champion, WWE. He'll be in Wichita coming up on Monday, December 9th at Intrust Bank Arena. Monday Night Raw live here in our city. So it seems like every match you have is great. And I think we give you a lot of credit for that. But you had a match with Sheamus. Where was that held back in 2022 that was match of the year, according to a lot of people? And it's just, you and Sheamus have kind of remind me of each other because you're both brutes. You're both very tough. Just take us back to that match and working with a guy like Sheamus who's been in WWE for so long. How much did you gain from wrestling him?
Yeah, I think Sheamus was like a really good opponent for me at that time because, he could match my style basically. Like, he's a very physical guy himself, and that's what made me stand out all the time before WWE, and like, it was a good chance to get in there with him and really showcase my style. And he was perfect for that because I felt like for him it was too. He finally was in with somebody that fully embraced that. And Sheamus is all, like, I guess Sheamus is really known for always bringing a good match to the audience and always has great energy in the ring and really pushes the action. And I think we both really benefited from wrestling each other that night.
So you've, over the last several years or so, you got yourself into really incredible shape. Was that something where you felt like once you had your look down that now you were ready to take off? Or was that a complete metamorphosis? Did you feel like you had to get better on the mic? Did you feel like you had to get better in the ring? Or was it just one thing and you felt like you could be now in the position that you are?
No, I grew into that all organically, I would say. And like for me, like, yeah, promos and in-ring segments and stuff like that, that's nothing that really happened elsewhere besides WWE. So it was never like a real part of my career. And it was also nothing I always ever, like, I don't know, I wouldn't be, before in the indies, I wouldn't push for that. It's like, hey, I need some time on the mic or something like that. Like, I was always very focused on what's happening in the ring. But obviously in that position, in WWE, and when I joined, I joined WWE to get in the ring with the best and to get in the top spot in WWE. Talking on the microphone is maybe a more critical thing than even the wrestling is. And so I had to adapt to that. So, but I would say it was a process, and just grow into the position that I wanted to be in.
Talking with Gunther from WWE, you were born and raised in Austria. You became a wrestling fan at a young age. I'm impressed, having read about you a little bit. Tell us the journey to learn English, because I think maybe from what I read, you had some difficulty early on with that. But once you got around American wrestlers, that really helped you learn the language. Just take us through that. How difficult was that?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, it wasn't that as well. It wasn't really difficult per se, because it's like it was a process over time, because we got in touch with more English-speaking people. Like, I mean, we all learn English at school here, obviously, but it's a difference between school English and the real-world English, I would say. And the most crucial part is learning a language is actually having the chance to speak it and exercise it. And that's what helped me the most. And I guess over the years, it just picked up, and now I feel very confident with it.
When did you realize that the company was really behind you? You know, you were Intercontinental Champion for a really long time, and some people never get out of that level. Some people, it takes them a year or two after that to get to a top spot and top of the car, but you were ready immediately after the Intercontinental title reign. So was that something that you kind of realized in the middle of that you would be elevating pretty soon afterwards?
I personally, I felt ready for that step in the midst of being the Continental Champion, and that run was a very good test, so to say, if I can get into the position. And I always done well with high-pressure situation and situations where there's a lot of responsibility on me. That's where I really thrive, and I would say in life in general. I feel like in the course of that, I really felt myself that I belong there and I'm ready for that.
All right, another question for you. We're speaking with Gunther again, Monday Night Raw. We'll be in Wichita the 9th of December at Intrust Bank Arena, and Gunther will face Damian Priest for the World Heavyweight Championship at Survivor Series War Games on November 30th. So Raw's getting ready to make the transition over to Netflix. What are your thoughts on that? How does that affect the talent in WWE? How much are you anticipating that? And is it exciting for you?
I mean, of course it is. Sometimes it's like hard because you're very focused on your own career the whole time, and a lot of things happen very fast. So it's sometimes hard to look forward at the things that are going to happen, if that makes sense for me personally. I'm very focused on what's at hand for me, and right now it is Damian Priest and Survivor Series. And then we'll see, get through that, and then I'm ready for whatever is next.
So real quick, I would never have imagined that I'd be speaking with you. So I have to ask you. I've heard you as Gunther. I've heard you as Gunther. Obviously, Gunta, I think, is maybe your preferred, and in general, but we're supposed to say ring general. Am I allowed to say Gunta and in general, or since I'm just an English speaker?
No, you're not allowed that.
Can I not say that?
No, everybody's allowed to pronounce or say it how they want to.
Okay. That works.
That's what we'll go with. We'll just whatever comes in our brain. Really a pleasure talking with you, Gunther. We appreciate your time. I think I'm an almost 70-year-old man, but I've followed wrestling since I was a kid too, and you've had an incredible run here. You're very deserving of it, And I know you want another shot at Cody Rhodes, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, so Cody eliminated me out of the Rumble twice, and I would say it came kind of like out of nowhere that we had that match in Saudi recently. If it wouldn't be for that special occasion, that wouldn't have happened because we're on different brands. But yeah, I'm not done with Cody Rhodes, for sure.
There you go. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you very much. Have a good day. Thanks for having me.
IHOP is the official breakfast partner of Xbox. And why wouldn't they be?
Of Xbox.
How many times have you gotten done eating pancakes and said, man, Call of Duty sounds great right now?
I don't know.
Probably every time.
For me, no. I was never a big video game guy.
Never?
As a kid, a little bit. Mario Brothers, Donkey Kong,
Double
way
dribble?
Back in the day.
Double
no.
Dribble?
No.
Baseball Stars?
No.
Bases Loaded?
No.
Rad Racer?
No, never heard of it.
Oh, you didn't play Rad Racer?
Never heard of it.
I'm going to play Rad Racer
right now. I was probably done playing video games at about 11. Then I kind of didn't play them anymore.
It's probably about 25 for me. I want to play Rad Racer right now.
Right now?
Yeah, I'm going to play.
That's embarrassing.
Start
That's
game.
literally embarrassing. Why like, I feel bad for you right
rad
now.
Rad Racer was rad. How do you press start?
What's yeah, what button okay, start? Obviously you're pretty good. You don't even know how to start the game.
Well, there's no start button on a computer.
Well, then why are you even trying to play it? Especially when you're doing a radio
press
show.
Press A.
I'm going to play Rad
a.
Racer. I'm Jeff. Thanks.
How is A not A? What are you supposed to do here?
Oh, this is painful.
B?
This is just painful.
If you knew Rad Racer, you'd be trying to figure this out, too.
I would not. I would not.
If
I can
you knew
honestly,
Rad Racer, you
I can
would.
Say right now I would not.
Because you never played Rad Racer.
I did not.
So what button is A? Oh, hold on. A is X.
Well, that makes sense. This sounds like a really smart game.
B is Z.
A is X. B is C. That makes
B
a lot.
Z.
This is unbelievable.
How do you go? There Oof. We go. Oh, I'm zooming now.
Why?
This game's crazy.
Why?
You got to slow down sometimes. Anyway,
yeah,
I'm live streaming Rad Racer.
Well, if anybody really wants to while you're driving, that's a great idea. Live stream watching Jeff play this game.
Is that are we on live stream right now? We should be for this.
No, we probably shouldn't. Okay. In all seriousness, we shouldn't.
You never played Rad Racer.
Nope.
So what do you know?
I know nothing.
I didn't crash.
Did you enjoy that?
Yeah, I did.
That's good.
Not my favorite level, the first one, but it's still pretty cool.
Well, when you go home, you can play a little
Man,
bit
you've
more.
Man, you never played those driving games?
No.
It's crazy.
No, I didn't.
I wish
didn't
I get had it,
Never
Rad
got
Racer.
Into that stuff.
Can you get Rad Racer on Nintendo? We have sort of a Nintendo.
You have sort of a Nintendo.
It's like a mini
What's thing. A sort of Nintendo? This is all painful.
I think all the games are
I have that,
preloaded.
Jeff. The little, it's yeah, yeah, I got that. My sister got it at... She used to go to a casino, and they were giving them away free.
See, here's a...
I got it. Got like 600 games.
This is what I'm going to do when I go.
Good
I'm going to watch this Rad Racer playthrough on YouTube, 27 minutes. This is a guy playing Rad Racer.
You're going to watch...
That's how much I love Rad Racer.
You're going to go watch, spend a half an hour watching some dude play Rad Racer.
Not even some dude play it, some dude who did play it.
So
it's
just
already
video?
On the internet. He already did it. It's not even live. I'm
Boy,
just going to go watch Rad Racer.
That sounds exciting. Like, literally, that almost put me to sleep.
It did?
Like, I just hit a wall, and it's because you're talking about Rad Racer. I've hit a wall.
Have I told you about the time I nearly electrocuted myself?
No, but I'm kind of curious about this one.
I didn't know. This is dumb. This is, but I've never told anyone this.
Oh, this, okay. Well, now I'm interested.
Because it's so stupid, and it's insane.
Okay. How old were you?
Seven.
Okay, so you're under Bob's care.
No, I was at my mom's house this
Okay,
night.
So you're not. So
but
Bob's
I
out.
Was under nobody's care. It was late night. It was overnight. And I didn't almost electrocute. I mean, I almost did because the electrocute, I don't know how close I was to dying. But for some reason, I was up playing video games, you know, and they have the adapter and they have the end that plugs into the
yeah.
to the console. And that console is where the electricity goes, right?
Okay.
From that little circle thing that fits in.
Gotcha.
Right? So for some reason, I put the red, the end with the electricity, I put it on my tongue. And it shocked me real bad. And I only did it about seven or eight other times after that. I've never told anyone that. Well, but why did I do
that? There's a reason. I don't know why.
Do you think I could have died?
Well,
do you think I'm messed up now because of that?
I think so.
There's like part of me that's electric still.
Isn't the messed up part that you did it like seven or eight more times? Like, did you enjoy this?
I don't know if I enjoyed it. I was just so fascinated by it.
So let's try it again.
You know, usually rats, once they get shocked a couple times with the cheese,
yeah, they're done.
It didn't feel good. I want to dispel. Don't try it at home. Okay. It did not feel good. But there was a fascination that made me, at age 7 or whatever it was I wasn't 10, I probably wasn't 9, so I was around 7, just kept doing it.
So was this something you did when your parents weren't around?
This was the only time I ever did it.
Well, I thought you said you did it 7-8 times.
No, like at the same time.
Oh, you just kept doing it?
Yes.
That's just idiotic. Isn't that the definition of insanity right there?
Well, if he's only 7, give him a break.
Well, what? No.
Why?
Like, why?
Give me a break.
Well, did it hurt?
Of course it hurt.
So you just kept doing it.
I didn't completely get it.
Right? How did... What? You didn't get it?
But it was like, can I do this again? It was like almost I was like daring myself to do it. Right? And you don't turn down a dare.
Especially to yourself by yourself with nobody around. Yeah.
Yeah. What you kind of a wimp will you look like if you turn down a dare from yourself?
It's like Bob playing basketball alone. His best ball.
Yeah, making 53s all in a row.
These were my best shocks, the ones I did alone.
I don't know if that was good for you.
It wasn't.
I don't think it was.
Well, do you think it affected anything long term?
Obviously it has, yes.
It has.
Yes.
Clearly, but what are the signs?
Things are coming full circle all of a sudden in Jeff's world.
Everything makes sense now?
Well, the picture is starting to get painted a little bit. Let's just go there.
Well, that's certainly a big part of the picture.
Oh, obviously it is. That was missing.
Medical trauma, it affects you one way or another.
That you did to yourself over and over again.
Yeah, not smart.
No, not one of your best days.
But I did never do it again, though, after that night. That was the only time.
Well, after 7 or 8 times, you'd think probably, no, this is probably not smart. Was your tongue burnt?
No, it was just like zapped. It was a pretty good zap, too.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, do you think that could have killed me?
Like, no.
Like at age 7?
No.
They probably account for that, right? Some kid's going to put this in his mouth.
Probably.
We can't.
Probably
make
got
it.
A picture of you in the definition as they're writing it out.
Yes. Warning.
Warning. Don't be this kid. Please never do this.
Because, you know, they only write warnings for things people have done before.
Oh, right. Jeff, that's just, I feel bad for you. That's crazy.
It was a long time ago. It was the 80s. A lot of people were doing weird stuff.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
They were. That was your dad.
What did he say?
Well, the Rad Racer thing, he sent a thing, said make him stop. I was trying, Bob. I think I got him off that.
Why can't I just be myself on this show?
What? Nobody wants to hear about you playing Rad Racer during the show.
There are a lot of people out there who play Rad Racer.
There is not a lot of people out there. There might be a lot of people that play it, but they don't want to hear about you playing it, and you don't even know the keys. Like, no. Ridiculous.
Well, sorry.
That's all right.
My deepest apologies to everyone who was offended.
Your electric shock thing was good. I like that. I can't say that I did any of that stuff as a kid.
I was just... As my dad likes to say, hearkening back, even though that's not the correct usage of the term.
Okay, well, I don't understand it.
You hark back, but that's okay. I was just hearkening back to my time as a Nintendo guy, and Rad Racer was one of the games.
The only game I ever played with Nintendo was Mario Brothers. That's it.
Mario Brothers we played, Donkey Kong. When Super Mario Brothers 2 came out, we certainly jumped on that, but you can't recapture what was... The original. Then you moved on to a Sega or Game Gear, then a Sega Genesis. At one point, a Sega Dreamcast. Then here comes the PlayStation. Then your various forms of the PlayStation. And then here comes your Xbox and your various Xboxes. That's where we are today.
Confusing.
It's a lot.
It's too much.
Do you have anything to close it out today?
I got nothing.
Did you think we had a successful show?
When don't we? I like, seriously, when don't we?
I thought we hit everything. We hit everything. College football playoff rankings came out last night.
They were the same, basically.
Well, BYU dropped all the way down.
Well, obviously.
They don't like the Big 12 in this college football playoff.
Yeah, but they beat each other up, so no one's going to have a great record.
No one is good enough to claim supremacy in that conference because they don't beat each other up. They all lose to garbage teams. It's not like the top teams are losing to the top teams.
Well, BYU had a chance, and then they lose at home to KU, who was 3-6 at the time.
Right, like K-State.
The Big 12 is not going. I can see why they don't like them because what is there to like when you actually look at it? What's there to like?
There's
about
nothing
them?
To like.
No. There isn't.
Colorado, you like still, but because they haven't sullied themselves. But what if they lose to KU?
Well, that's exactly, and they very well could. KU's playing pretty good ball.
Exactly.
Colorado has going for it is they got Deion Sanders, they got Shakir, and they got
Shadur,
and they got the Travis Hunter kid.
Yeah, so, they have other people though.
They do, but those are the people that people talk about. So right. It keeps them in the news. It keeps them in the now. But if they lose to KU. Then what?
Then you got BYU and somebody else playing in the conference championship.
And so then one of them get in, whoever wins it? Is that how it works or no? Well,
yes.
That's what I thought.
The top five conference champions are
automatically in.
Yes. But in this ranking, Boise State out of the Mountain West jumped over BYU. And the fifth.
I thought they were still 12. They were 12 the week before.
BYU?
No, Boise.
Boise was fourth in this ranking. So the top four conference champions get the bye, but the fifth best conference champion isn't automatically the five seed. Then they rank them from
after
five
that,
to 12.
Gotcha.
So there you have it.
Well, yeah, I don't know what's going to happen, but when it comes to football, look, the Big 12 is not that strong.
It isn't. And
Let's
we got to
just
go.
Be honest.
Thanks, right. Everyone, for listening today. Joe Posnanski, Mike Furches, and Guntha were our guests. We will talk to you tomorrow. It's a three-man booth. We can't wait. Looking forward to it. Later.